Well, good morning. That's about 15 people. Good morning. 37 people. Good morning, Pleasant Valley. Are you happy to be here? Are you really happy to be here? Has God been good to you? Took care of you this morning? Gave you rest last night? Night before that? The night before that? The night before, before, and before that? The God I'm referring to is the God that has taken care of you all the week. And even if you don't like the way that your week has turned out, the God of heaven has saw fit to allow you to make it through, that your being here this morning is not because you and God are such good friends, but because of the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. That's the God we serve, and he's a God that's worthy to be praised. Are you really happy to be here? I'm thankful to be here this morning with you. I am thankful for my friend, Mr. Jonathan, who I was able to talk to a little bit before getting over here this morning, for Jonathan and the leaders who have given me this opportunity to stand here to share with you. And I appreciate being able to spend time with our extended family of believers, that we can get together as family and share and brag together, really, on how good God has been. I'm also thankful to be with Mr. Josh this morning. He is absolutely correct. He came to Rose City, and that's the first time we got to work together, and we've been able to work together since in the Connect and Celebrate. And that's really something we want to talk about and get Pleasant Valley aware of. Connect and Celebrate is an effort that the Rose City Church and the Sylvan Hills Church started a while back when we had a racial dialogue, to just really have open dialogue about how can we get together and be a better testimony to the community of the love that God has for his children. That if anybody ought to lead the way in bringing people together, it ought to be those who love the Lord. Amen. Somewhere in the Holy Scriptures it says, by this they will know that you are my disciples, for the love that you have one for another. And we need to be those that lead that. And so, Brother Josh, at that particular time, we were at the Sylvan Hills doing the Connect and Celebrate. And in that, if you're not familiar what that is when we get together. It was Rose City, McAlmon, Cabot, BB, downtown in Searcy with Money Cox. And then we had some folk from Pleasant Valley come. And it was an exciting time, and we're getting ready to plan our next Connect and Celebrate, which would actually be at the downtown church in Searcy. And as we promote that, we really do want to see if Pleasant Valley would join us in those efforts to share with the community that there is a way for the people of God to spend time together, share with one another, and show the world that Jesus is the Christ by the love we have one for another. Y'all all right with that? Now, I'm going to encourage you. I did get some instructions about normally what happens at Pleasant Valley. It's good to know. I've never been here on a Sunday morning. I've been here on you on Wednesdays, but I've never been here with you on a Sunday. And I got clarity on normally what Jonathan does. And they told me, I don't know how true it is, I'm telling you what they told me, and I'm going based on what I was told. If there's something different, tell me after everything is over. We're supposed to start Bible study at 9:30. Is that right? Is that right? 9:30? Okay. It is 8:52. Praise the Lord. Turn to Mark chapter 8. I'm going to read a narrative with you. Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse number 22, will terminate at verse number 26. And back home, we have a custom. I'm going to ask you to embrace the custom as your guest. And back home, when we read, we stand together just to read in unison. If you don't mind just standing with me while I read, that we can be together. Nehemiah said the people stood while he read from the word. I'm going to be reading verse 22 through 26, reading from the New Living Translation for language purposes. And when they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. That's going to be important. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" The man looked around and said, "Yes, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. In fact," he says, "they look like trees walking around." Then Jesus placed his hand on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Get this point. Jesus sent him away saying, "Don't go back into the village on your way home. Don't go back to Bethsaida on your way home." Go ahead and take your seats in the presence of a great God. I want to talk with you under the idea, under the umbrella of spiritual blindness, with a subtopic: better, but not whole. I'm better, but I'm not whole. Will y'all walk with me with this journey? As we look at this narrative, I want to go beyond the concept, really, of blindness. Because you can have your eyes wide open and still not see clearly. Is it all right if I come down here and talk to you? If I get closer to you, then I think we can communicate a little bit better. And if I touch you, it's not that I'm trying to restore your sight, it's just that I'm trying to connect with you. I want to go beyond this idea of physical blindness, because a person can have their eyes wide open and still not see clearly. You can be a Christian this morning in this place, in this facility, and still not have peace and joy in your life. Amen. It's very possible that you claim to see, but you don't see clearly. The vision I'm after this morning is not the kind of vision that you go to a doctor to get corrected. In fact, the most prominent miracle that you'll see in the Bible over and over again is Jesus restoring the sight of the blind. Now, there's no formula for this thing, but Jesus is after something deeper than physical sight. People say, "But I can see, Brother Jackson." That's possible, but can you see clearly? Amen. Without vision, people perish. And the question: how willing are you to check your perception about what you see? How willing are you to reevaluate what you claim to see with your own eyes? Are you willing to check your vision? Because if you're not willing to check your vision or to check your perspective, the things that you think you see could be the very things that cause you to go down. If you're not willing to check your perspective, if you're that stubborn to think that what you see is all there is to see about what you see, it'll be the same thing that causes you to go down. I'm trying to give you a reason to listen to the narrative. If you're willing to at least evaluate your perspective, Jesus says, "I can do something with your eyes." In this narrative, let's walk through it. In the narrative, Jesus is now operating at a time before pharmacists. This is before optometrists, before ophthalmologists, and yet Jesus comes to a place that's crawling with sick people. He's in Bethsaida. The place is filled with sick people. There are sick people everywhere. And yet, in the midst of a place like this, they had more sickness, Josh, that Jesus would heal people every day and still didn't make an imprint on the sick people. The point behind that is when Jesus healed somebody, he was not after the disease. when he healed you, he was not trying to cure the disease. Jesus was on the scene to say, even though I heal you, it's not blindness I'm after. Even though I heal you of your leprosy, it's not leprosy I'm after. Even though I clean up the issue of blood, it's not blood that I'm after. I do it to show you that there's a God on the scene who's able. And so he would heal blindness time and time and time after again. And yet he comes to this city called Bethsaida. I'm going to tell you, you ought to be thankful of modern medicine. Because if we ever lose modern medicine or health care, and then you have to live by faith for real, Selah. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about it. But here he comes to Bethsaida. Lepers with lepers, blind people with blind people, sick people with sick people, cripples with cripples, and yet Jesus enters that environment. And they bring him a blind man. Here comes Jesus, God's pharmacist in the flesh. So much sickness that even though he healed them, you still had sick people. Y'all follow that? He's not after the disease. He's trying to show you something about power. But yet, when you study the miracles of Jesus, what you will find over and over, out of all the people he healed more blind people than anybody. What is it about blindness that attracts Jesus to heal it? Blind Bartimaeus stayed by the roadside, cried out to Jesus. He healed him. John chapter 9, the man born blind, he heals him. Jesus is after something. And what he is saying to us is, your blindness, think about this. When he heals you, is he after your blindness on the outside, or is he trying to point you to the blindness on the inside? Jesus is after spiritual blindness. How do you see what you see? Y'all follow me so far? Now watch this, watch this. You know, people, I see people all the time who say they can see and are blind. Can you see me? You sure? They say they can see, but they're blind. What do you mean by that? I see people all the time who says, I want people to love me and I want people to gravitate me, but they do things that push people away and they don't see that they are contributing to that. Yeah, I missed that one. Let me go over here. I see people, I tried it with you. I see people all the time who do things that will cause people to leave them and not evaluate what they are doing to cause that to happen. You say you see, but are you seeing clearly? 20/20 on the outside, but blind. They say bats are blind. Okay, blind as a bat on the inside. Spiritual blindness is one of the worst forms of blindness. Y'all follow that? The worst form is not being able to not see with your physical eyes, but to be blind in your soul. So in the narrative, Jesus has a unique method in curing blindness. Watch this. It's so vile. Y'all ready to walk through the story? I'm going to walk you right through it. It's so vile that Jesus, when he gets ready to heal the man, here's what's interesting. They bring him to Bethsaida. Jesus is in Bethsaida. He's not in Bethsaida on accident. Y'all follow that? He's there on purpose. And the text says, they bring him a man. Watch this unique way. When he gets ready to heal him, the text says, he spat in his eyes. And that's offensive. But he's blind. Watch this. And the reaction of being spat on is demeaning. But he's blind. Jesus spat on the man. We don't see Jesus healing anybody else this way. One occasion he made some clay and put it on the man's eyes, but in this particular narrative, he spat on the man. You follow that? What that says is there's no recipe for healing blindness. Amen. There's no recipe for healing blindness. Some people get it in different ways. He's healed differently than any other blind person in the Bible. Jesus spat on him. His awakening is different than the way the other people got to see. That's the same thing with you and I. Our spiritual eyes are open at different moments. Some people get it through song. Some people get their awakening through the preaching. Some get it through the conversation that they're having with people. That just says that your spiritual eyes are open at different times. It's a process. There is no formula to cure spiritual blindness. And so Jesus uses different methods. And in this particular one, he spat on the man and touched him. Let me give you something to live by. One of the beautiful aspects of this story is he shows that healing is progressive, because he touches the man twice. One touch doesn't always do it. Amen. There are people who are functioning in this room with a one-touch experience. And what that means, see, this man required two touches. Not this man, I'm talking about the man in the text. This man, because I untouched him about four or five times. But this man required two touches. There are people in this room who are living under a one-touch experience, and you're pretending to see better than you really do. And yet some of you might need a second touch. That's in the text. Jesus comes to Bethsaida. Now, let me tell you something about Bethsaida. Bethsaida was a fisher's port. I'm going to try it again, all right? Come over here and talk to you. Bethsaida was a fisher's port. Fishermen hung out in Bethsaida. All kind of, any fishermen in here? Raise your hand if you're a real fisherman. I'm talking about going down to the pond and you pay to catch them. I'm talking about real fishermen. That's real too, but I'm messed up. But anyhow, any fisherman, let's do it again. Bethsaida was a fisherman's port. Fishermen hung out at Bethsaida. All kind of conversations took place at Bethsaida. These fishermen were at Bethsaida talking about everything and some things they shouldn't be talking about, and they laughed out loud because they thought it was funny at Bethsaida. At Bethsaida, you would show up and you would see all kinds of things. Certain kind of women hung out at Bethsaida. Y'all know what that means? So Jesus walks into that kind of scene. Bethsaida is full. Bethsaida is one of those cities where Jesus cast a curse on. That's important, because now Jesus is come to Bethsaida, a city he has cursed. All this is going on. And when he arrives in Bethsaida, some disciples bring him a blind man and say, "Touch him." The first thing he does is when they bring him that blind man in Bethsaida and say, "Touch him," he grabs him by the hand and takes him out at Bethsaida. And they say, "Wait a minute, Jesus, you just got here. You just got to Bethsaida. You got work to do. Can you not heal him in Bethsaida? I thought you were the God of the whole universe. Why do you have to leave Bethsaida to heal the man?" Jesus says, "I'm not going to even start your healing process until I first get you out of your environment." Amen. There's something about Bethsaida that has him bothered. Y'all follow me? Jesus comes. They bring him this blind man, and he takes him right out of the city. Why does he take the blind man out of Bethsaida? Don't you see that he's blind? He leads him out of Bethsaida. And the text says, outside of Bethsaida, he healed him. Why do I have to leave Bethsaida? To correct my vision. What is it that Jesus wants this blind man to understand about his environment? Can we talk about that? Until the blind man can understand his environment correctly, his perspective won't change. Until you understand and process your environment correctly, your perspective won't change. Now follow that. Could it be? Is it possible that the man's condition is being fed by his environment? Selah. That's Hebrew for think about it. You're looking at me like, well, why you say that to me? It's, I'm glad. He says, your environment has a lot to do with how you see the world. If what you see is all you think there is to see, you will restrict your healing. He takes him out to heal him. Now keep in mind, here's a point to take home with you. When I talk to you about this man, neither I nor Jesus, I'm not using this blind man, and Jesus was not using this blind man to talk about blindness. He's after a bigger point. He takes a blind man out of Bethsaida before he heals him. Now, he heals him, but he heals him outside of his environment. Jesus is not after blindness. And me using this man in this narrative, I am not after blindness. Neither Jesus nor I are looking at this for blindness. Jesus uses the man to send a message to Bethsaida. I'm using a man to send a message to you. And neither one of us are talking about blindness. Ooh-wee. We're going to try it again. We're going to try it again. Are we communicating? Well, all right. All right. He leads him out of Bethsaida. Is it possible that Bethsaida is what's contributing to your disparity? Is it possible that the reason Jesus leads him out of Bethsaida and says, I'm not going to even start the process until we can get you out of where you come from? What is it about Bethsaida that Jesus doesn't like? Even though he goes into Bethsaida, he also cursed Bethsaida. It's interestingly that if you study Jesus' ministry, even three of his disciples were born in Bethsaida. Peter, Andrew, and Philip, they're from Bethsaida. But hear that, they are from Bethsaida. They didn't stay in Bethsaida because there are some places you can't stay. Amen. He heals him. He says, in fact, what I'm going to do to you won't take nothing once I get you out of your environment. Jesus says, let me tell you how easy this is to heal you. He spat on the man. Now, keep in mind, he takes him out of Bethsaida. And when he gets him out, he spits on him. Now, even think about this. Listen, how vile this is. You blind. And you got somebody who leads you out. You cannot see him. But you want to see. And the next thing you hear, see, some blind people are like, wait a minute. Wait. I'm not quite sure. Jesus is really saying, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? He says, let me show you how easy it's going to be. And he spits on him. Here's what he just told him. My spit is more powerful than the wealth of Bethsaida. God says, my trash is better than the treasures of this world. My foolishness is better than the wisdom of this world. And here you are trying to have a godly experience in a worldly environment. If you want to see this right, we got to get you out of Bethsaida, or you won't change your perspective. And what happens is when you are living in Bethsaida and you're comfortable in living in Bethsaida and you won't evaluate your perspective, you'll come here on Sunday hoping that this experience will get you from Monday to Saturday, and then you're trying to figure out why your life is not getting any better because you won't change your perspective. Bethsaida has you wrapped real tight. Y'all follow me? Now, if you're upset, if you're bothered by what I'm saying, you might be in Bethsaida. And what all I'm trying to do is walk you out by the hand so we can have a different perspective. Y'all all right? Watch this. You ready? I'm about to heal you. You ready? You gonna take it? He said, don't get too literal with the text. I understand. Watch this. He leads him out of Bethsaida. Spits on his eyes. Think about this. Why doesn't the man get angry? Because when you've been blind long enough, you don't care what it takes. Listen, when you've been hurt, you don't care what it takes to get close to God. When we were back in St. Louis, we used to have an 8 o'clock service and a 10:30 service. And sometimes the people would complain out loud and they would say, well, I don't want to come to the 8 o'clock because we got to park on the other side and it's too far to walk. See, you haven't been hurt bad enough. Because when you've been hurt bad enough, it doesn't matter how far you got to walk. You want to get close. You say, I need to be around some people who can encourage me, who can strengthen me, who can show me a better way. You will come when you've been hurt. But when you are comfortable, living in Bethsaida, the man, he doesn't complain because he's been in this condition so long. It's almost like, metaphorically, when he hears Jesus get it together, he like, put it right here. Whatever it takes. Question. Are you willing to change your perspective? Are you willing to challenge how you see what you see? And we challenge everybody else. Are you willing to challenge your own perspective on how you see what you see? Jesus touched him. And then he asked the man, what do you see? I like that. I wish I had time to do a lot more with that. But go home and read the story. Think about it. He spit on him, touched him, and said, "What do you see?" Understand, he's not asking the man because he needs the information. He's asking the man to see how his perspective is. What do you see? The man says, "I see men walking like trees." Here's what's beautiful to me. Out of all the things he could have put his attention on, out of all the things he could have chosen to see, he focused on people. And it shows you what's going on the inside of him. Can I tell you something? Listen, I can tell how healthy you are inwardly by how you see what you see. If I talk to you and you tell me how you see what you see, I can tell you where you are in the healing process. He says, "Do you see anything?" "I see men like trees walking around." Here's the question God is after with us this morning. How do you see people? Do you distrust them? Are you fearful of them? Are you reserved? Are you loving? Are you distant? Do you long for them to come to you? How do you see people will tell you where you are in the recovery process? Why doesn't he test his sight on something else? Why use people? Because his reflection, his perception, tells you a lot about him, about what's going on the inside. It's far more important than what you actually see. What's going on the inside of you is more important than what you see. Now, I think I can do this. I think I can finish this and get you to class on time. You want to see me do it? Y'all missed it. Don't worry about it. You missed it. Now I got to start all over. I believe I can do it. He said, "I see men like trees." Question: is the problem with the men or is the problem with the man? "I see men like trees." Is the issue the men or is the issue the man? What that says is you could have a touch from God and still not see clearly. You can be saved and still haven't recovered. That's why. Now, I don't know what your theology is. I'm not trying to bother your theology. But you know, in circles where I've been, you know, it's been said, you know, passages like, "You should not be yoked with unbelievers." And we've used that in some circles to say that Christians shouldn't marry non-Christians. That just because you say you're Christian, that you're safe to marry. There is such a thing called Christian crazy. That's not even what that passage is about. But the point is, just because you had a touch does not mean you see clearly. So Jesus touched him and says, "What do you see?" He said, "I see men, but they look like trees." Here's what he just said: "I'm better, but I'm not whole. I can see a little bit, but I'm not seeing it clearly." As a believer, don't settle for blurred vision. If God asks you, "What do you see?" don't pretend that you see better than you really do. You need to tell God, "I can see a little bit, but I don't see this clearly." And there's the difference between "I'm better, but I'm not whole,"
is based on your perception. He's not asking this man about his sight. He's asking this man how you see people. And here's my point, and I'll leave you alone. He says, I see men like trees. He says, I've had an experience with God, but I don't see clearly. And here's what he says. He said, because you're honest about how you see, he said, let me finish this process. Here's what's beautiful. When he asked him, what do you see? And he said, I see men like trees. He's not just talking about Bethsaida. He's also helping his disciples understand you are just like this man. Just because you are with me does not mean you see me. Case in point, I just fed 5,000 men with two fish and five dinner rolls, and now you get on a boat and toss waters, and you get afraid that you're going to die in a storm. Don't you just remember just a few hours ago, I fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, on a little boy's lunch? That tells me you really don't see me for who I am. You were with me when I told you to go get some water, fill it up, and take it to the head waiter, and the water turned to wine. But you don't see me. Now follow that. We just left the Gadarenes, and a man ran out of the tombs who were possessed with 7,000 plus demons. I cast them out. They went into the pigs. You saw this. They jumped into the water, and they drowned. Apparently, you don't see me. So when he says to this man, what do you see? He says, you are also a representative that my disciples, who I've also touched, don't see me clearly. Sometimes you need a second touch. And he says, I see men like trees. Here's what he's after. You've been into Bethsaida too long. And if you don't think Bethsaida has influenced how you see people, that's why he takes the man out of Bethsaida. Beautiful. All other blind people, he healed them with one touch, or he healed them quick. This man took two touches. Here's the difference. All the other blind people, none of them came from Bethsaida. Sometimes it takes a little more to get Bethsaida out of you. He takes him out of Bethsaida. He touched him. What do you see? I see men like trees. He said, because you're honest about what you see and you didn't pretend that you see better than you can. He said, I'm going to touch you and heal you clearly. Notice he didn't spit on the man a second time. He says, you are close enough to get this healing. I'm not going to do anything I had to do before. I'm going to finish what I started, because you are honest about how you see. See, if somebody says they want to be your disciple, here's what they're really saying. They want to see the way you see. Someone say, Jackson, I want to be your disciple. That means you need to buy the books that I read. You need to go to the conferences I go to. You need to sit. We need to have a conversation. We need to sit and talk. If you're going to be a disciple of mine, you're going to have to see what I see. The difference between you and me, it is not that I'm more powerful than you. The difference is in what I see. Selah. He says, I want to be your disciple. He says, then you need to see people the way I see people. And I don't see people like trees. Oh, my goodness. I don't see people like trees. So let me touch you again. And when he touched him, the Bible says his sight was recovered. That idea of being a disciple, seeing what your teacher sees, is all threaded through the Bible. Elijah takes Elisha, and Elisha says, I want what you got. Elijah says, if you see. One translation will say, if you see me taken up, you can have a double portion. Contextually, it literally says, if you see what I see when I'm taken up, you can have it. If you can see what the teacher sees, Jesus says, The way you get past your spiritual blindness is you got to see people the way I see people. And the way I see people is different than the way Bethsaida sees people. This man is now whole, completely healed. He has the same vision as his Lord. Verse 25 says, then again he laid his hands on his eyes, looked intently, and was restored, and began to see everything, how? Clearly. And he sent him home, saying, do not even enter the village. Whatever you do, don't you go back to Bethsaida. If God has gotten you out and you can see clearly, he says you can go anywhere you want to go. He said, but don't you go back to Bethsaida. If God has allowed you to survive your Bethsaida, and now you can see. Can you see? Whatever you do, if you now see people how God sees people, don't you go back to Bethsaida. Bethsaida. I didn't get you out of Bethsaida to leave Bethsaida inside of you. You need to see people the way God sees people. Here's a thing that you take with you. Now, do you do an invitation thing? Okay. Take this with you. As you prepare your mind, in just a minute we go stand, we go sing. That's a good moment to make up in your mind, God, you've gotten me out of Bethsaida, and I don't want to go back. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. If you are struggling trying to get out of Bethsaida, you come. We'll pray you through. We'll pray for your deliverance. We'll pray that you can see people the way the Lord sees people, that he'll heal you from your Bethsaida. Here's a test on whether or not you're out of Bethsaida. How you treat yourself is how you see God. How you treat other people is how you feel about God. Now you determine if you're in Bethsaida. How you treat yourself is how you see God. But how you treat other people is how you feel about God. And if you've not been pulled out of Bethsaida, this morning's a good morning to say, I'm tired of living in Bethsaida. Will you join me up here? I'm tired of living in Bethsaida. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. And if you're here, you're not a child of the Most High God. You come full of faith, believing that he is. Be willing to repent of your sin. That's a change of mind. That change of mind changes the way that you think, the way that you feel, the way that you behave. It changes your perspective of how you see what you see. Confess him to be Christ. We'll baptize you in water for the remission of your sin. He gives you access to the Holy Spirit. That's your down payment on heaven. Live, work, and worship according to his will when God calls time to be no more as you and I know it. Hear him say, well done. Well done. Better, but not whole. If you want to see people the way God sees people, make up in your mind, be convicted in your heart that if I'm out of Bethsaida, I'm not going back. And if I'm still in Bethsaida, I'm about to walk myself out. So I no longer have to see people like trees, but I can see them the way the Lord sees people. If you need to respond and we can help you, we're going to ask you to stand together as we sing.